The Steve Dangle Podcast with your hosts, Steve Dangle, Adam Wilde, and Jesse Blake.
Well, I just woke up from a post-COVID vaccine nap, and Jesse and Steve starting off this Zoom call with just a humdinger of a conversation. Can't even fathom the interest that you're going to have in what Steve is about to tell you, because
that sounds like sarcasm.
He is deep in the net.
Sometimes I just like,
a Habs overtime goal, but like deep in the net. You see what I'm saying?
No. Oh, go Habs, by the way. Treason. Treason. Can't wait to talk about that.
All right. So what happened?
Chomping at the bit all day. No, I just asked Jesse. I go, hey, have you seen that video of them restoring seats at a soccer stadium with a blowtorch? These seats have been sun bleached over many years, and then they take a blowtorch to it, and it's all better. It looks brand new. And I thought that was interesting, and my friends don't.
Really cool. And then you got into a conversation about a shark. I don't know how you jumped from seat to shark, but you did.
It's got 6 gills per side, and they found it at a depth of 3,300 feet, which I think is really cool.
Is it a new shark? Is it an old shark? Is it just a shark that they're like a neighborly shark? Like, what's the deal with the shark?
I don't know. All I see is the video. And it's
you're
cool
like talking about, you're telling me about the shark's vert or something like that. It's like, dude, what's the context here?
The shark can jump higher than Morgan Riley.
Okay, there it is. All right. So
these are the top 2 things on the front page of Reddit.
No, not even necessarily. It's just 2 things I happen to see.
Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Jesse.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Jesse.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there's ever any way that you would have found similar content to Steve?
No.
I'm not even logged in though. So like it's not catering to my interest. It might be GPS not GPS. You know, geo specific.
Yeah, they'd be like that's Dangle's neighborhood.
One of the things on my front page today was me. So imagine my surprise when I saw me. And how much of a traitor I am to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about that. Because there was a tweet last night that I think a lot of people misinterpreted that you sent out about you, the Leafs being, or the Habs being money in the bank or something like that. What did you say?
Okay, here, I'm trying to find it. So someone goes, so what I initially did was I thanked everyone for watching the stream. Watch a Habs game with Steve Dangle. The numbers are incredible. Awesome. Yeah. It's so good. And the numbers, I was so surprised and pleased with how good the numbers were, despite we had just gremlins yesterday, just horrible technical difficulties that thankfully sorted themselves out by about halfway through the game. All throughout the third and overtime, we were good. And so someone who I'm sure regrets ever tweeting me, said, so how twisted are your emotions at being paid to stream the finals, but there are no Leafs? Because we're going to be doing Watch a Habs game with Steve Dangle in the Stanley Cup final this year because the Habs are there. And I said, the Habs have literally put more money in my pocket than the Leafs these playoffs. I've honestly never disliked the Leafs more. Those are two separate thoughts, as demonstrated by the separation of sentences. I go, the Habs, man, pleasure doing business with you. LOL. I'm having a blast doing these streams. If I waited for the Leafs, I'd be waiting forever. Giddy up.
So what did Jesse, how do you interpret that statement?
I interpreted that a very sleepy individual decided to fire up twitter.com and ramble on for a couple sentences.
That's a fair point.
Also, this is my fault. My fault.
So I guess I got a bunch of, here's the thing, Steve.
That's also not what I was saying.
You're a traitor, Jesse.
What were you saying, Jesse? What were you saying?
No, I was just saying, it's just, you had like 4 different thoughts in one tweet. So I can understand why I was misinterpreted. But
that
all
true.
You had to do is just say, hey, it's been fun to do the streams, which I think you could have just said.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Here's what I got. Fine. Do you see anywhere in there where I was like, I'm not cheering for the Leafs anymore. I'm a Habs fan now. I'm a fan for hire.
No, anybody who interpreted that way completely missed the point.
And the whole thing, the whole reason
to do that.
The whole reason you tweeted is because you're mad at the fucking Leafs, man.
Like, yeah, I am mad at the Leafs.
All right. So
I am mad at the, if you're a Leafs fan and you're not mad at the Leafs right now, I don't understand how you ever watch a game and cheer for them.
Jesse, are you mad at the Leafs? Because
bad things don't register for you. I don't understand how good things do then. Like your radar, your whatever, something's broken in there. Something's not working properly.
Jesse, you mad at the Leafs?
I am not thinking about them, which is, I think, is worse. Yeah. So yes, and yes.
That's worse.
Okay. Yeah.
That's apathy, my friend.
Yeah. Me going apathy. Heel, me going full Hulk Hogan NWO, and giving the leg drop to Macho Man Randy Savage and going to the Montreal Canadiens as a fan and abandoning the Leafs would be better for the Leafs than just not caring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got to win back my caring right now. Like that's where I'm at.
Yeah, they do.
You got to understand that every time that there's fallout from something you tweet, I get it. Because people are like, well, Adam knows Steve and his DMs are open. So I'm going to tweet him and see what he thinks about it. Now,
I'm going to tell Adam, like, Steve's his friggin' dog.
Well, there's a lot of people who will message me and I know they mean well. Like, hey, can you pass this to Steve? And it's like, no, I can't. Because there's like 40 messages like that every day. And I completely understand. But I did get
how I am to you.
Really?
All I get is messages for Adam to pass along.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll tell you one right now. One from a history teacher in the GTA who wanted to pass along that they think it's a great idea for you to start a History Corner podcast.
Love it.
Because history is so boring. And that's a teacher in the GTA. And they said they don't have Twitter, but they want to pass this along. So they sent it through an email and they wanted me to tell you that. So
through the contact submission form in our sdpn.ca website?
Yes.
Wow. That you know they're a history teacher because they use something historic to get in touch with us. It's crazy. Email. I think at the end of the day here, Steve, I think some people took it as you were gambling on the Montreal Canadiens, meaning like
I don't understand how they got there.
Because you said money in the bank or something.
Money in your pocket.
No, I said they money put more money in my pocket than the Leafs these days.
Right.
So I followed it up. Someone goes, I get it too. I think where a lot of people are reading too much into it is him talking about how much money he is making while talking about the Habs. He's continuing to work by watching Habs games on stream. I'm certain he wishes it were the Leafs he was covering.
Steve, what do you do for a living?
Make videos about hockey.
Specifically?
The Toronto Maple Leafs on my channel.
So when the Leafs are out, what happens?
I just like a bear, I go to sleep for several months and I awake in training camp.
Part of the reason this show even exists is because the Leafs have been terrible and we needed other ways to vent and talk. And, anyway, at the end of the day, it seems like a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Steve is not gambling on the Habs. He's not cheering for the Habs. And listen, man. And I think you made a good point earlier, Steve, and I unfortunately cut you off because I'm a mess today, and I'll just be straight up with
that.
I do not feel good. The if you're not mad at what happened with the Leafs, you haven't been watching the Montreal Canadiens. Like it's frustrating. And you know, somebody actually in my DMs today was very thoughtful and they said, well, I just don't get it. I just don't understand how you can be this mad. There's still hope. And of course there is.
God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Now, there's much younger.
Every season when they drop the puck, all 32 teams can win the Stanley Cup. That's just, there's always hope.
Always hope.
I'm going to be there too.
I think that there are some things though that occurred and we're going to talk about this when it comes to Mark Stone as well. When it comes to, you know, Vegas and what happened to them in this series, we'll get to that in just a second, by the way.
Yeah.
There's some body language things that I saw with the Leafs this playoffs that were extremely concerning. There is some stuff that frankly happened behind the scenes that we'll never get into that I'm frankly super still pissed off about. And I think there's a culture again of entitlement here. And until such time as they prove otherwise, I think that I felt like I was quit on as a fan, frankly. So in fact, based on what happened, it's quite clear that there are certain people that are not willing to take responsibility for what happened. So anyway, long story short, let's get to Vegas and Montreal. I can understand the outrage from Leaf fans. We're all just mad.
Oh,
how about, like, you keep asking me what it's going to take for the Leafs to get us all back and excited? Big move this summer. We're going to need a big move. And something.
Go ahead, Jesse.
If we're gonna do Vegas and Montreal, can I ask you guys? Can I tell you guys that I'm confused still about what Montreal is?
Sure, I am too.
Like, do you guys feel some confusion?
Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know what to expect next year out of them still, because they're an amazing team since being down 3-1. And they're, I think, the second best team. I think Tampa right now is still the front runner for the cup. But Montreal's in the cup final, and they're not. So who knows? The first team qualified Stanley Cup playoffs. They played unbelievable. Carey Price is great, but they finished 18th in the standings. And you look at their roster next year, and there's probably half a dozen rosters you pick ahead of Montreal's. So I'm still confused at this team that's in the Stanley Cup final. I don't know what they are. And if you guys have any insight, that would be great.
So they're a well-oiled Kakuna, a well-oiled Metapod, and they press harden, and they get harder to attack. They're a Kakuna, they're a Metapod. We've talked about this before on the podcast. It's a Pokemon that cannot attack. It can only defend, but its defense is extremely defensive. It's really effective. Their problem was they couldn't bloody score. And then in comes this kid, this 5'7", 165-pound child.
From school. He literally left school.
He literally, like, with his backpack over his shoulder, see you guys, I'm going to go play in the show.
He's Ash Ketchum, leaving town.
And he goes to Laval, and it's very obvious right away, he doesn't belong here at all. Goes to the NHL. His first two goals are overtime winners. And he had one fewer goal in that series against Vegas than all of Vegas's forwards combined. And I think
they tied, didn't they? Wasn't it 4-4?
No, because they had one in that game. So I think Caulfield had four and Vegas had five. I might be wrong. Because who scored in the... Oh, Riley Smith.
Right. Okay. Yes.
So... there's that. I think he's a huge missing piece here. Brendan Gallagher has two goals. Mm-hmm. Philip Deneau has one goal. No, he has zero goals. Shea Weber has one goal, and it came last night. Those three players are an enormous chunk of the Montreal Canadiens. Philip Deneau's assist on the overtime winner was his first point of the series that was six games long. His third point of the playoffs, he is averaging a point per round. And what this kid does is he allows them to be what they are to a wild degree. Now, Brendan Gallagher is not a defensive specialist. He scores goals. He can't right now. His hands busted. Mm-hmm. So they say, well, how's your feet? And he goes, they're pretty good. Okay. Well, what if we put you out there with Deneau and Lekkonen, who's also got some pretty good feet. And you got that line got their first point in the sixth game and they won. They're going to the Stanley Cup final. I saw a tweet today. I almost threw up. The Montreal Canadiens are going to the Stanley Cup final and not a player on that friggin' team has more goals than William Nylander.
This season? In the regular season?
Yeah. Like, I should be getting more criticism for remaining a Leaf fan. I really should. No, because it's illogical. It's illogical and dumb.
It's not about the Leafs.
Well, it is, though. Well, because
focus on the Canadians for, like, 4 minutes.
Fine. I just feel like I didn't get to put a bow on my point that I'm grumpy about.
Yeah, I can tell. Praise the Canadians here for 4 minutes.
Like. So Cole Caulfield allows Montreal to be them. He does. Because they could have done this. But you're going to get cracked. You're eventually going to get cracked. I don't care how good you are at defense. If you can't score a goal, you can be the best team in NHL history and the game will go to octuple overtime. But if you can't score, you lose the game. That's how this works. Now they can score. Their depth, Corey Perry, is good for a scoring chance almost per period, or at least something that looks roughly dangerous. Joel Armia, same deal. Eric Staal's a bit hit and miss, but he can contribute. Josh Anderson's at least a factor. Like, it's just unbelievable. You look, the Habs outside of Caulfield, I don't know if they have a single player who you'd look at and you go, they're having a great playoff offensively. But Caulfield's presence allows them to specialize like crazy. And behind that specialized style, they have arguably the greatest goaltender of the last decade and a half. It's a hell of a formula, and it's gotten them to the Stanley Cup final.
Yep. Now, on the other side of that, you got Vegas. Mark Stone, especially, even in the post-game press conference, talking about how he's the captain of this team. He's got to take responsibility.
Yep.
0-0-0-0-0 everywhere. He was not Mark Stone, decidedly. And obviously you lose Chandler Stephenson, but you know, you expect that the Knights should be able to recover from Chandler Stephenson, or at least be able to compete. What do you say about Mark Stone's performance and the effect, or lack thereof of effect, on Vegas?
Last year, they're up 3-1 in Vancouver. They score 1 goal in game 5, 0 goals in game 6, 3 goals in game 7. They won that. So there's 4 goals in 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
They play Dallas, shut out in the first game. Mm-hmm. That's bad. 3 goals in the second game. They won. 2 goals in the third game. They lost. 1 goal in the fourth game. They lost. 2 goals in the fifth game. They lost. And then in this one, I don't have the numbers up. They couldn't bloody score. And all I need to tell you is their forwards had 5 goals in 6 games. Listen, Philip Deneau is unbelievable. He doesn't play 60 minutes a night. Where are you? And this is why you go to Vegas. This is why you sign in a market like Vegas. No disrespect to the fans of the Vegas Golden Knights. But, buddy, you would be in a food processor right now. Your name would be in a food processor if you did this in a Canadian market. I'm not even going to say Toronto. Any Canadian market. First game was good. 4-1. Great. Second game, score twice, lose. Third game, score twice, lose. Fourth game, score twice, win. Fifth game, score once, lose. Elimination game, score twice, lose. They can't score when it matters the most, which is not something I thought I would ever say about the Vegas Golden Knights. It's a little bit, I don't even want to say it's a little bit like the Leafs, but when the puck is not on a defender's stick, that team's trash. Totally ordinary.
They're a little flawed in the way that they've been built by Kelly McCrimmon, because they've thrown so much money at the defense and the wingers that they're just left with a huge gaping hole down the middle. You're running with Nosek and Stephenson and who else is in the middle? Nicholas Waugh and then William Karlsson. Like, if those are your top four centers, like, I don't have confidence that you're going to be able to score consistently, because the wingers aren't really driving the play, especially in this series when you see them struggle against a team that plays such great defense like Montreal. And you see in the power play versus everybody with Montreal, but they're the shutdown forward groups. And when you don't have a center that can score on your team, how do you expect to score a goal?
One of you pulls out Vegas's regular season stats, I'm tapping the sign. Anyone listening to this right now, I'm tapping the sign if you pull out the regular season bullshit.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, Adam.
I'm just pulling up their cap friendly.
Oh, no. Okay. Not you two.
Okay.
Not you
two.
I think going out and getting a center is probably the first number one thing on McCrimmon's list this offseason.
Which brings me to Jack Eichel for a second, because
it doesn't have to Vegas be Eichel. It could be anybody.
It does. It's Vegas, baby. But I think here's the thing with Vegas is they had a team that surprised a lot of people a few years ago. And, you know, they're a top two team in the NHL, top four in the playoffs, pretty good, right? Hard to criticize. But when it does come down to the final four, you do have flaws that are exposed. And I wondered if, can you be a victim of making too many moves? Like, I look at the, and this is pre-cap era, so you have to kind of bear with me on this. the Toronto Maple Leafs used to trade too much.
Yes.
They had two great runs in 93 and 94. And they had guys like Kirk Muller, Dave Anderchuk, Glenn Anderson, Mike Gartner, guys who were money in the bank for 30 goals. And, you know, obviously Doug Gilmore. And they were able to get Matt Sundin as well, which is pretty spectacular. But they kept trading. And then they had to go out and do something like, and no offense to Wendell Clark, but trade future Islanders captain Kenny Johnson, top tier defenseman Kenny Johnson, to the Islanders for Wendell Clark.
And the pick that drafted Luongo.
They had to do things that, like, so after, if you look at their trade record, it looks really good about 91, 92 when Cliff Fletcher jumps in. But you look at 94, 95, 96, and you start to go, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I wonder, sometimes it's very Vegas. It's like, hit it again. Sir, that's 21. Hit it again. You know what I mean? It's just it seems like they're overbuilt, if that makes any sense.
Did you pull up the cap friendly?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to do something that'll prove your point. The cap friendly has a little tool that shows how a player was acquired. How many are, so in 4 years, how many forwards and defensemen are left that were drafted in the expansion draft for Vegas?
Five
guys. So in 4 years, only five guys are left in your roster. And like out of those five, how many are regular?
Like one of them is William Carrier, with no offense to William Carrier, but
right. So we're Carlson, down to four.
Carlson, Marchessault, McNabb, Fleury. And
that's it.
And then Carrier. You know, and it's not, listen, I think
a lot of tinkering.
It is a lot of tinkering. And you do get significant roster turnover in any NHL market. Maybe you could look at the Leafs and go, hey, the last 4 years, they've made a lot of moves too. And you'd be right. I think, though, I mean, what was the last team, Steve, if you can remember this, because you are unbelievable with your memory on this.
I'll try.
To win without a dominant number one center.
Montreal Canadiens.
They had dominant number one center back then. They had, former Leaf. Oh, this year. Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about the Cup. 93. They had like Vinny Damfus and they had some other, again, former Leaf Vinny Damfus, who they traded for Grant Fuhrer. Could have kept him and had Doug Gilmore and Vinny Damfus up the center.
Boy, you got to go back quite some time. No, like I'm all the way back at Datsyuk.
Are we back Carolina? At
Getzlaff. I bet they got Brindamore was along the lines of like Ryan O'Reilly, who ended up winning the Conn Smythe. Conn Smythe went to Cam Ward that year. Conn Smythe winner, Cam Ward. But yes, and they did have a young, people forget how good young Eric Staal was. Holy shit, he was really good. All right, so we got to go back and we got Brad Richards. He won the Conn Smythe. Who won it in 2003? We got that was the Devils.
They had
a very long time.
It was like Bobby Holik Devils.
Yeah, and who was just criminally underrated.
Yes,
and a guy worth getting the jersey for. And I think this is another problem that Vegas has. Everyone who got a Marc-Andre Fleury jersey, congrats. But like. Players need to be around long enough for it to be worth me getting their jersey, for the love of God.
So what's the minimum length, do you think?
Can you hold on to a couple of them for 3 years?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. They do have cap money to spend. Like Marc-Andre Fleury's deal is up.
After
this year. No, it's not. You're right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can see them running it back with that two tandem if Seattle doesn't want Fleury for another expansion team.
I kind of think they should.
They should? I was thinking about it today. I was like, is Fleury going to start another expansion team? It might be fun.
No, I'm saying I think Vegas should keep him.
Vegas should keep him? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the cards land where they land. Like, if they take one of them, they take one of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Leonard's got 4 years left. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would assume they're protecting Leonard over Fleury.
Yeah.
But because of his age, I don't know. It's very good. It's a very interesting thought. And who knows? You know what else is interesting is there could be side deals that have already been made and we just don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, that was the case with Fleury, was it not?
I have a question. Ron Francis, does he have any, I know he was in management in Carolina for a long time. There was rumors of him coming to Toronto, never happened. But then was he ever in management in Pittsburgh in any capacity? Can you remember?
No, I can't remember.
Because I'm wondering if there's any connection there between Ron Francis and Marc-Andre Fleury. You know, just because Pittsburgh people are, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins stick together. And I just wonder if, you know, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury's clearly a good guy to start a franchise around.
Yeah, but remember, like, Francis isn't the only dude there. Like, I did not call Dave Haxtell. That was weird.
We'll get to that.
you know, Alexander Mandricki and you know, a bunch of others are. What's that?
I don't know who that
she's
is.
She's in the management group.
Yes.
Sorry. And so I wonder if she'd come on the show. Probably not ahead of the team doing an expansion draft. I'll try to ask her. But yeah, it's they have a very interesting offseason coming. And they're in a great spot. They're in a great spot because, you know, your flawed, very flawed team is still good enough to finish second in the regular season to make it to the third round of the playoffs. That's good news. Mm-hmm. You have assets. And guess what? Not only do you have assets, you're not losing one to Seattle, which I just realized. They don't have to protect one of those goalies because they are exempt.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting. No, you're not an idiot. It's just there's one team in the entire league that's exempt.
Yeah. What a dumb rule.
And they finished Final Four in both years.
I think
dumb rule, but that was the rule from the beginning.
Yep. I think it's good. Let them. Why not?
Good for them.
They went to the Cup final.
Yeah, nobody thought they were going to the Cup final. No one thought that.
It is the NHL's fault.
Anything.
Vegas' success is the NHL's fault.
And that's good because they want to attract more franchise tags. Believe me. The next one, Vegas costs $500 million. Seattle costs $750 million. The next one's going to be $1 billion. And the NHL wants at least four more. You know that. So it's believe me when I tell you, this is great. They want the Kraken to be really good as well. Now, I do want to...
Vegas' Stanley Cup final, first round exit, conference final.
Yeah.
Second round exit, I think. Weren't they last year? Did they lose to Dallas in the second or third round?
Third.
Oh, it was third.
They beat the Canucks in the second.
That's pretty great.
I don't remember who they beat.
That's pretty great. Well, I'm sure they addressed the centerman thing because one thing you say about Vegas is they are not afraid to make a trade. I sort of wish the Leafs had a little bit of that when it comes to the big players because I think we could use a change. But Vegas, I would be shocked if Chandler Stephenson is center number one next year. Be shocked. And that's nothing against him. Nick Suzuki would sure look good right now, wouldn't he? On Vegas.
Oh, well, someone was like, a player who you drafted and traded away coming back to haunt you. You're officially a franchise.
Yeah. Yeah,
congratulations.
Welcome to the NHL.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We got to quickly talk about Dave Haxtell being the new guy in Seattle. So he was the Leafs defensive coach and his name sort of surfaced. And Steve, I think you mentioned it on the last show. You said something along the lines of Dave Haxtell or was that our meeting yesterday? Well, then over lunch, Steve said, well, this is interesting for the Leafs because maybe this opens up an opportunity for Bruce Boudreau to come back and actually coach here. he played here. But the thing is, Dave Haxtell, defensive coach for the Leafs, former coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, now the head coach of the Kraken. Here's the question. Why?
I honestly don't know. I know he was very highly touted coming out of university. Like, I'm not trying to be insulting.
No, I mean, they played, the Leafs played good defense this year.
Yeah, that's why this made me sad. I was like, the defense is the one thing that really, really worked.
Right. Well, and from a Leafs perspective, Sheldon Keefe, head coach, bring in Bruce Boudreau. He does the power play. But wait a sec. Doesn't Manny Malhotra do the power play? Not anymore. He goes to the penalty kill, which is a thing he actually did as a player. That is what I would like.
And he was a specialist.
Yes. From a Kraken standpoint, I mean, Manny Malhotra strikes me as exactly the sort of freaking player the Leafs could use. Anyway, Dave Haxtell, he was very highly touted coming out of university. He went to Philadelphia, very mixed results. I know how Flyers fans feel about him. The one thing I would say there is Philly's got a little bit of Toronto syndrome where someone fails there and then everyone assumes they're garbage forever, which I'm not sure is quite the case. He was a very good assistant. He was a good assistant for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their defense improved. Their penalty killing was top 10, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly wasn't their downfall at all. Different personnel, change up the personnel. Didn't really have a full-time center ever on the penalty kill throughout his tenure. Kerfoot was the closest thing they ever had to that, which maybe be an alarm bell, and he made it work. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even necessarily get all the saves in the world either. So he did really good there, but now he's a head coach. And we've talked about this a bunch of times, like with DJ Smith, for example. It's just not the same. It's mm-hmm. a different thing. And tell you what, there's a guy who is an assistant coach that people weren't 100% sure about in Toronto. He goes to another team. He's an excellent head coach.
Who's that?
DJ Smith in Ottawa. So I know. Dave Haxtell, good luck to you. I mean, coaching an expansion team. I mean, it's no easy task because Gerard Gallant did it. He was wonderful at it. And then they fired him.
Well, now he's the coach of the Rangers, the biggest franchise in the world.
Is that good?
So that's pretty cool.
Also, firing your head coach seems to be a good way to win. Like Pittsburgh did it two times and won the Stanley Cup. Montreal did it this year and are in the Cup final. St. Louis did it last year, right?
Unless you
got one. When Mike Yeo was like, I'm going to get fired. And then two games later, they were like, you're right. And then they won the Cup. The Mike Yeo, not enough was made nationally. I'm sure St. Louis fans remember, but that beginning of that season with Mike mm-hmm. Yeo was like, bizarro world. I think he made it 10 games and
they were in last.
We keep going like this. I'm just not gonna have a job. And it's like, okay, man, you said it. He's like, I need to do a better job. It's like, okay, like you know, when you could see someone careening to disaster,
yeah.
Anyway, Craig Berube.
And then Jordan Binnington joins, and all of a sudden, Craig Berube's a genius.
Yeah,
is he a genius or is he just a coach with a goalie? Dean Evason, I mean, went from having Devin Dubnyk to Cam Talbot, coaching genius. Coaching genius that he did that.
It's amazing that he was man.
You know what I mean? Not to take anything away from him, but the old saying, you show me a good goalie, I'll show you a good coach. I'll show you a good goalie.
Yeah, so for the Leafs, everybody wants Bruce Boudreau. Can they do it? Will they do it?
Sure, but then...
Would that make you happy? Would that bring you back on board?
It would make me happy, but then, you know, you're just going to get everyone screaming, which they already have. Marner's name, like, trends every day. Like, people
it's are not.
It does.
We got, I know, no, I know it does. I'm just saying we got to.
Fucking touch grass?
Yeah, we got to chill.
Yeah,
we That's do. Enough. That's enough.
Yes, I agree.
I wasn't happy with his performance either, but let's fucking chill.
Here. Yes. It's June 25th. Bruce Boudreau, a guy who can't win a game 7. Is what people are saying. And it's like, you know what? Let's do it together, Bruce.
Let's double down.
Let's double down. Like, maybe it's one of those like double negative things. Like, I don't know. let's try to make it work, man. Let's try to get two birds stoned at once or whatever the Trailer Park Boys saying is. Come on, Bruce, come home. I just want a Leafs fan to be a coach with the Leafs.
I like that idea too.
He's
I like
Leafs
that
fan.
Idea too. Yeah, you know, at this point,
Leaf.
I think, don't we have 2 years left in Austin Matthews' contract?
No.
Please,
Got to be three.
Step on my face. I think it's three. Because he signed it the year before Marner's. No, wait. Last year.
I'm looking.
No, he's three. He's got three.
Mm-hmm.
He's got three, which is
yeah,
good, three. But not great.
22, 23, 24. 2024, he'll be a UFA. This isn't super something to worry about.
Just in time for everyone to get a raise again.
Please step on my face.
Well, that's step on my face as hard as you
the can. Highest paid player in the NHL. Sorry, Connor McDavid, you signed for too long. I think the other thing we have to talk about before we get into the press conference here, because it's a short show on Friday, is the updates with Chicago. Now, I have to tell you, there's very few stories in my life where I've seen such a slow uptake on such a tough subject. And you know, obviously, if you want to hear what happened, you can. We'll refer you to the previous episode. But the long story short is a couple of players from the Blackhawks 2010 Cup run were assaulted in the middle of the third round against San Jose by a team video coach who had them over to their apartment, tried to... I guess I should give you a sexual assault trigger warning here. I should have done that. I apologize. I don't know what the right term is, but tried to come on to them. And these players, and this is where the issue becomes even worse, is that these players went to their assistant coach or a coach on the team who took it to the assistant coaches, who took it to the team psychologist, who took it to Stan Bowman, who took it to the whole thing. And they conducted an internal investigation, apparently. And basically, from what we've heard today, Katie Strang, among others at The Athletic, had an article today and basically talked about Nick Boynton. And Nick Boynton was a part of that team, big part of that team, big physical body. And he says the entire team knew about it. So, you know, we talked about last episode, the marketing department knew about it. Well, all the players knew about it, too. And they... entrusted Coach Vincent, who has spoken out publicly since on this, to go to management with this. And he did. Management chose not to, for whatever reason, report it to the police. There were reports, I believe I've read, that say they conducted an internal investigation and didn't believe that there was any sort of reason to report this to the cops. Now, beyond that, Rick West had followed up his story yesterday with a tweet saying that many players and executives around the league have a hard time believing this because the players involved could have physically overpowered this video coach. By the way, this video coach is a registered sex offender in Michigan. He got a letter of recommendation from the Blackhawks after the 2010 run. Basically, he was punted out the door, worked at the University of Miami, and left abruptly after 4 months. So the University of Miami is now investigating that. And he was convicted of assaulting a 17-year-old. So basically by not reporting it, things happened down the road that, you know, if you'd reported it, maybe you would have been able to prevent this. And, the most important part of this is that if you look at the stories that Sheldon Kennedy and Theron Fleury came forward with, they were high caliber athletes. They were more than able to overpower the coaches. If you look at what happened at Penn State, with Jerry Sandusky, you would think that a football player would be able to overpower their coach. You got to remember that being stronger than somebody physically doesn't mean shit when it comes to this stuff. And I find it really funny with all, not funny, I find it terrifying and tragic that the NHL had one of their own in Sheldon Kennedy come forward and say all these things and talk about it. And they've learned nothing. How can an NHL executive really say that? And Rick Westhead reported that that's what the execs are telling him.
And there's so also more.
What's that?
There's also more.
What do you got?
So Brent Sopel. who was on the Stanley Cup winning team with the Blackhawks, so he's now the second player on that team to say something. He responded to a tweet of Rick Westhead's, the front office staff should be in jail. The NHL is showing their true colors. Gary doesn't, I assume referring to Bettman, Gary doesn't care about anyone but himself. This is absolutely disgusting that the NHL is doing nothing. And then I don't know if you saw this update because it was only tweeted about 15 minutes ago.
Didn't see it.
By Rick Westhead. New, a former Chicago Blackhawks legal team. You're way better with legal stuff, dude. So I'm going to need you to help translate this for me.
Okay.
An- new. A former Chicago Blackhawks legal team has asked a judge to order the NHL club to turn over all records relating to any allegation of sexual exploitation, credible or not, made against anyone in the organization. This would include management, players, etc. Second tweet. Plaintiff lawyer tells me plans also in works for issuing subpoenas to current and former Blackhawks executives. Under Illinois law, witnesses can be deposed for up to 3 hours. Can go longer if lawyer gets okay from judge.
So what that will mean is plaintiff lawyer is the person who's filed, John Doe in this case, because it is a former player, but they're asking to keep their name sealed for now. The plaintiff lawyer is going to get every single record of any sexual misconduct that has happened in the Blackhawks organization ever since they kept keeping records, whether they've kept those records or not. Now, this is the interesting thing. We don't know that this was ever even filed. And if it wasn't filed, if this was dealt with verbally, we don't know whether this was written down. We don't know if they made note of this with their, whatever their HR team is. If this was not written down, it's even more damning. So it's damning if they wrote it down and did nothing. If they did absolutely, if they didn't write it down, it's even worse. So both options suck here. And this is going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, one of the things that these lawyers will do is they'll take their time and they're going to go through every email. And they're going to go through every text message. And these things have to be turned over. There's records of them everywhere. You have to turn them over. They're going to go through every single little sentence. And, you know, the interesting part here is obviously the NHL is silent on this. The Blackhawks are silent on this. From what I'm hearing from people who live in Chicago, I can't verify this. A lot of the media there is silent about this. There's not a lot being said. There was people who listened to this show who were like, I literally have not heard this and I live in Chicago.
And I got to say, I'm incredibly disappointed in the media on the reporting of this story, because we're just a little podcast. And I know we're trying to get the story out there through our voices and report on it. And like Rick Westhead is obviously doing all of the heavy lifting. But a story like this, when you get into the details, it feels like a national controversy. It feels like it should be not sports news, but news, mainstream news. This should be something talked about on CNN. The Chicago Blackhawks are a $1 billion company. Mm-hmm. And you have a cover up of a sexual assault on professional athletes.
Led to the sexual assault of a minor.
Exactly. Like that's insane. And it's so little is being made of it. It seems like right now the steam is picking up, but the story's been out there. How is there not more people talking about it? So I just want to say I'm disappointed in the media from that perspective.
So I did get a tweet from Mario Terabassi. Mm-hmm. You guys are 100% right on with everything in here. I will say though, Dave McKinney and Tony J. Arnold of WBEZ, I guess that's in Chicago, along with Rick Westhead, have been on the story since the beginning. Those three deserve the biggest props on the investigation.
You know, ESPN's picked it up. We're starting to see more and more outlets talk about it. Obviously, it's a thorny legal issue, and you don't want to libel yourself, which is why we just keep repeating the stories that we hear. Because we can't, you know, you can speculate, but you can't really say, well, this happened, because we have no idea. We weren't there. But at the crux of the issue is, you know, if this went unreported to the police, why? Why? What, under what circumstance is that acceptable? And I'm curious to know where this goes from here. And there are some big names involved. So we talk about how much this is spreading. You got Brent Sobel and you've got Nick Boynton both out saying that everybody knew. Brent Sobel saying that head office should be in jail. Now that's probably hyperbole on Brent Sobel's part, but he's pissed, and you can understand why. And he probably knows the person and knows what happened and knows who it was, as everybody on the team apparently did. So here's the problem for the NHL. Stan Bowman is still the GM of the Chicago Blackhawks. According to court filings, you know, he knew according to court filings. The head of player personnel was Mark Bergevin. The assistant general manager was Kevin Cheveldayoff. The head coach was Joel Quenneville.
The biggest week of the NHL is about to begin in 5 days.
Right.
Stanley Cup Finals.
And isn't it weird that this story is breaking at the same time in the playoff calendar as this event happened? Towards the mid to late third round. And what here's, if I were to say something, it's, you know, teams don't want anybody messing with their vibe if they're about to go to the Stanley Cup final. And I think, I mean, I don't know what was going on, but it seemed like, it seems odd. It seems odd. And I don't know how to explain this beyond what we're talking about here. We'll see what details come out. It's been crickets from the NHL and the Blackhawks, and they'll probably come out and say, if they do say anything, they'll just say, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. We'll leave that up to the courts. We'll talk about when there's a verdict, blah, 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 blah.
Not a good
lawyer boilerplate.
Yep. Yep. So we'll leave it at that because that's all we know, but we will continue to watch this story. And it's surprising actually for a TSN hockey story, how little that was even retweeted. I was, when that came out on their feed on Twitter, like usually everything they have blows up because they're big. It's like Sportsnet, right? Everything, you know, has like 150,000 retweets or whatever. I saw like 100 with Rick Westhead. And I think because the story's ugly. So with
it's
that, I mean,
uglier.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm curious too about, because here's the thing. The Blackhawks eventually are going to have a press conference. Right?
They're going to have to.
Well, they have to. The draft's coming. Free agency's coming. Expansion draft's coming. I call it fantasy draft. And who's going to have to talk?
I think as fans, we have an obligation to refuse to let this go away. Mm-hmm. Until there's an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like one way or the other. Like I said a few shows ago, if you're one of those people, you know, you're just steadfast and always, nope. Innocent until proven guilty and all that. Well, okay. The Blackhawks are not allowing anyone to prove innocence or guilt. Right?
Mm-hmm.
By not going to the police with this information, allegedly,
mm-hmm.
they did not allow it to have its day in court, public or legal.
Or its investigation from a third party.
Yes.
I also, I'm curious about whether or not this is tough. Like as Blackhawks fans, what was surprising to me, we actually released this piece as a clip on our SDPN channel. What was shocking to me is how many Blackhawks fans are like fucking again. Seriously.
Very little defense.
Yeah. No defense. Yeah. No defense. It was like, to a person, they're like, how the fuck am I supposed to cheer for this? There's been multiple instances of terrible things happening here. What's going on? And again, you know, we don't know. We were not there. We don't know what the investigation was. The court will reveal all, or it won't. They'll settle and we won't find out anything. But it went unreported. I'd still like to know why.
I don't get the impression that's how this is going to go down.
By the way, the player is only seeking $150,000 in damages. So this doesn't strike me as a, I want a bunch of money case. Does that not seem right to you? Like, you know, you're striking at a $1 billion organization. You're going to ask for 150 grand. It's going to cost you more than that to pay the lawyers.
They want justice.
Seems that way. So we'll leave it at that for now. There are more updates. We'll feature them. Let's get to the press conference.
The presser. Dangle press conference.
I think this is a fun exercise from at @TML_Chandler. You can add one forward and one defenseman from Leafs pass and you add it to this team. Who are you adding? So I'm going to let you pick one forward and one defenseman from all-time Leafs. Anybody who's ever put on the uniform, you could put them on next year's team. Who are the two guys you're taking?
And they're in their prime.
They're in their, you get them in their prime. You get to pick the year. I'll even let you pick the year that they are born in 2021, you know? So their age, I should say. So Steve, you're up first. Adam, you're up next.
Oh, who you get? I think I am going to take, sorry, Iggy just walked in the room.
Hi, Iggy. Do you want to be on the team, Iggy?
Sorry, the reason Iggy just walked in the room, by the way, is before the show, Adam, you wouldn't know this. I was telling Jesse, my door fell off.
Oh.
The door to the blue room.
Slamming it so hard?
Fell
or?
Off. No, it's, so when we got the carpet replaced, the door jammed like really tightly. So it's a lot of like, kind of pulling it and I got to ram it in. And then I realized one of the screws was loose. So I tightened it and then it came undone again and I tightened it and it's two screws. And then today I gently closed it and it fell off. It's just, so right now I don't have a door. That's not true. I do have a door. It's just off.
Okay.
Right. So to answer your question, up front, I think I'm going to go with Dave Keon.
Hmm.
I know.
Why?
Well, admittedly, I'm a little young to have watched him. But he just seemed like the sort of heart and soul, take no shit guy mm-hmm. that this team needs so desperately. And then on defense, I'm trying to think of that big bruiser.
Come on.
Tim Horton.
Really?
I want Tim Horton because he literally looked like if they painted over an action figure of Frankenstein to make him look like a regular dude. Mm-hmm. Like he was enormous, and he just had this chiseled superhero like Incredibles jaw. He was huge and took no shit. So I'm going to say two old guys, which may not be the most exciting answers for all of you, but I don't care. Dave Keon and Tim Horton.
Okay. My picks are better. I'll just say
I know.
That. I'm kidding. Okay. So I'm struggling up front. Clearly you got to go with the center. You have to. The Leafs haven't had spectacular wingers in their history. They've had good, really good wingers, but like we're talking like Hall of Fame wingers, not too many. The two guys that I would have to fight between, I think, because of their stature and a little bit of recency bias are Matt Sundin and Doug Gilmore. So who do you go with? Matt's who made Jonas Hoglund a perennial 20-goal scorer. Doug Gilmore, who bled for the team in the conference finals and was robbed by Wayne Gretzky.
Conference
finals. And robbed of the Hart Trophy, too. He was the better player that year. Come at me. Okay. He was. I'm going to give it to Doug Gilmore because Doug Gilmore's peak was better than Matt Sundin's peak. If we're talking peak 2 to 3 years, Doug Gilmore's peak, to me, better than Matt Sundin's peak. This is a guy that literally lost the Hart Trophy because Wayne Gretzky existed, which is fair, and has the most points, most assists in club history.
You're getting a shit for that comment, but you're right.
He's the best. His prime was better than Matt Sundin's. Matt's was better longer.
Yep.
100%.
Yep.
And maybe you might even be able to argue, like Doug Gilmore was a great defensive center as well and doesn't get enough credit for that. Especially, you know, Flames fans that remember the 89 run. Him and Nieuwendyk were fucking spectacular centers. Just amazing.
Leaf legends, both of them.
But Doug Gilmore in his prime at his peak, those 2 years, 93, 94, he was just unbelievable. And I'm going to say Doug Gilmore up front because they need a heart and soul bleed for the team guy. By the way, when you go watch YouTube and it's like, here's a Doug Gilmore hits collection. All of the hits are illegal. Literally every player from the 80s was leaving their feet. They're all just jumping at each other.
Yeah. Him and everyone else. Yeah.
And on defense, I want to see a Jake Muzzin, Borya Salming defense pair.
Oh yeah.
Who like wants that. To play Borya? I got 37 stitches to the face, Salming. Not you. Not me. And that guy has his own underwear in Sweden, and he's the model because he's still in shape. He's got a six-pack, and he's like 86. The guy's insane.
Yeah, Brian McCabe referred to him as Skeletor after the the alumni game at the Centennial Classic.
If you talk to Leafs alumni, like former Leaf players, about Borya Salming and playing with them, they're like – He's just a, he's a demon. He's crazy.
Can I sidebar that for a second?
Sure.
Hockey does alumni better than any other sport. I think it's a Canadian thing where we super joyous and we all get together and that sort of stuff. And we love all of hockey, but I feel like hockey, like any other sport, does alumni better. Anyways, sidebar. Huh.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. No one's watching alumni basketball games very much. You're not going to get
they have the big three league, but like that's not the stars,
man. Those I just guys. Can't wait to see Gilbert Arenas against Hito Turkoglu or whatever.
Right. Dude, like, big three league is like vicious actually,
and they're
like,
doing really, really
competitive.
Well.
Right. Yeah,
but that's not like, hey, charity tournament with a bunch of guys who you're like, this guy should be on a mountain somewhere. That's how important he is to my life. And he's just out there playing hockey.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a cool thing that hockey does that I feel like no other sport really has.
Well, like, think about this. When the Leafs had that outdoor game on New Year's Day and they had the Leafs alumni versus the Wings alumni.
I was there.
You were there. And Mike Palmateer, who's like 78, is out there and he falls and makes a save and has to leave.
Like, yeah,
like, that's enough. That's enough. I gotta go.
I will take him out.
I will thank him forever for that because it was a great moment. And also for me, it meant two periods of Felix Potvin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So I was just like, oh, this rules.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. And then, you know, I also love Chris Draper and Gary Roberts getting into it. That was like they hated each other.
Yeah. Like that was real. That was real. Time.
It's pretty sweet, right? Like that's pretty cool.
I remember sitting up in the like top bleachers of BMO Field and it was so incredibly cold because you're right on the lake. You're up top. So it's just frigid air the entire time. But it was worth it.
Who would you pick?
Oh, I got to think about that. Okay. McGinley.
McGilney.
McGilney.
No. I say it right.
No, Jesse says it like half of Leaf fans ever says it.
Yeah.
McGilney was amazing.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Defenseman. Bring back Dion. Give him a second shot.
Stop it.
Wow.
Stop it. Dion, peak Dion in Calgary was pretty exciting to watch.
Yeah, that's peak the Dion I want.
Stanley Cup final Dion. I like that.
Yeah, a few years later, he's like, what do you mean I got to pivot?
We're not asking for a few years later. We're asking for peak. Peak Dion, okay. Where he's just trucking guys, just blowing people up at center ice. That was fun.
That was.
No, in all honesty, you bring back Caberle.
No. Yeah. I'm surprised nobody said McCabe because McCabe was really good.
I thought about
McCabe,
it.
Yeah, McCabe was great.
And also a little shout out to Wendell Clark as well. We love you, Wendell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enough credit. I received some mail.
Okay.
During the show, Mrs. Dangle brought it down.
During the show.
I got a shirt. It's what is it? Shinny and Co.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm showing you this is because this is Daryl Boyce's company. Remember Daryl Boyce?
Yeah. Puck to the face, Daryl Boyce.
No, not puck to the face, Daryl Boyce. Daryl Boyce, who fell into the camera hole in the boards and got half his nose ripped off.
Yeah, I remember that.
And got it stitched back on. Did not miss a game.
Oh gosh.
He returned the next game. I believe that was against the Hurricanes.
Are you
Everything
still in touch
weird.
With, are you in touch with him?
Yeah, he DM'd me. He's like, "You want some clothes?" I go, "Yes, I do, Daryl Boyce." And he sent them to me.
Been a while since Vancouver 2010. You want to refresh there, Steven?
Yeah. So now I'm going to wear these until, I don't know, 3 or 4 Olympics from now. Look at that. Thank you, Daryl Boyce. I appreciate that.
Oh, nice hoodie.
Like that. That's cool. Hey, Steve, Habs Reddit wanted to buy you a Habs jersey. What would you rather them do? Because I think there's a really important charitable aspect here.
Yeah, so someone was like, "Hey, do you want a, you know, you want a Habs jersey or whatever?" And I think they said it jokingly because I got this Team Canada jersey in the shadow box that's behind me on the streams. And I honestly would put a Habs jersey in there, but I don't have one anymore because I auctioned off my Jerkshire 69 jersey.
Who's
got a couple hundred bucks for that towards Easter seals. Before the season began, I don't even remember how it came up, but I said to Montreal Canadiens fans something along the lines of, if you raise $2,000 for Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto, I'll make a video that's about how great the Habs are. And I did. I made the whole video. It's called The Habs Are Wonderful and Good. and you can find it on my YouTube channel. So I did that. And then someone said that about the jersey. And so I said, okay, if you raise $1,000 for all the streams in the Stanley Cup final, I'll put a Habs jersey in that shadow box. And immediately I'm getting responses from people like, we're all drunk and happy. Like, ask for more. And honestly, by the time Monday rolls around, which is when the Stanley Cup final is supposed to start, it looks like it's conceivable we could hit 10.
Wow.
$10,000 for charity?
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. God. I haven't been able to tally it myself.
If you hit 10, you're putting on the jersey.
Wow. Sure. Fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. That's a lot of money for a great cause.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Put on the jersey. Do whatever for that.
I don't give a shit. I've put one on before, and I did it like for a bet with Merrick on ice surfing. If you raise 10 grand, I'll do it too.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So there's that. But they're like, oh, what jersey should we get him and what number? And let's make it 67. I saw on the Reddit thing. But okay, so I can't get into my Reddit account. So let me just say, do not buy me a Habs jersey. Do not. Jerseys are expensive. They're like $300 or whatever. Like if you get me the pro stitched, whatever, don't put that money towards Easter Seals. I know someone who's a Habs fan who lives not too far away. They have an extra jersey. I'm going to borrow it. And then I'm going to give it back immediately. But I'm going to borrow it for the streams and it'll go in the shadow box as promised.
Love.
And you're also going to wear one.
Only if you hit 10K.
Okay.
Deal.
Got to hit 10K.
I love that.
So just send me a receipt, like send me a screenshot of the tax receipt that you get from Sick Kids in Toronto. If your info's on it, please hide it. That is all.
Are you going to do something with that?
No, it's so I can tally.
Yeah.
And send it. There's a Twitter account for the Habs Reddit. Here, let me find it. Tweet it at them in case I lose it. They are Habs on Reddit.
Okay.
On Twitter. So just Habs on Reddit.
One more thing, and I think this is long overdue. To all the Montreal Canadian fans out there, congratulations. Congratulations. Enjoy this. We will be enjoying it with you. As what would happen if the Leafs ever made the finals, don't worry, they won't. If they ever did, I know that you couldn't cheer for the Leafs. But I will lovingly cheer for you, the Habs fans, and be happy for you when good things happen. This has been pretty great. And I have had so many people DM me just a crow. like just a picture of a crow.
You said they wouldn't win a game. So.
I did.
Bro.
I was, you know what? I was only off by four. Most estimates are off way more than that. So, I mean, come on. The Habs are going to win, aren't they?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We're also forgetting another thing.
What is it?
Tampa Bay and New York play a game 7 tonight. We haven't talked about it at all.
Oh, yeah.
Well, by the time this gets up, it'll be like second period, though.
Yeah, sure. That's why I kind of avoided it.
But what do you think happens? What's your prediction?
I have a really hard time betting against Tampa.
Me too, but I'm all in on the Islanders. I told you that at the beginning of the series. I'm all in on the Islanders.
So, I think history has taught us you fade Adam Wild, so that means Tampa is going to win.
There you go.
Let me just say the Stanley Cup final is one game away from potentially being the team Tavares left and the team Tavares never gave an interview to. And let me tell you, you're about to have a rough summer, Leafs Nation.
Oh, it's going to
be a rough, rough summer.
Oh.
throw your phone away. Touch grass.
Seriously. Okay. So we'll see you Monday. Love you. If you get that second vax, take a couple days off. Seriously. I'm a little sweaty and pallid today for a reason. So love you guys. Stay safe. Go Islanders. And we'll see you Monday for a Stanley Cup preview. How about that?
How about that?
The Steve Dangle Podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Steve_Dangle, at Adam WYLDE, and at Jesse Blake. Connection.